ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, or should I say my fellow necromancers, how are you? It's your girl again, and it is that witching hour again, and you have just tuned in to Delia's Dark Side on Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. And it's just me. I'm rolling solo today. I don't have any guests or anything, so today's going to be a pretty relaxed show. I do have some funny stories to tell. I'm going to go off the cusp a little later on. But as always, of course, I'm going to be talking about crazy ass sex stories. But before we do that, I just want to kind of reflect on last week's show, because it was a pretty good show. I want to thank my guest again. I want to thank Dr. Lamore Blockman, the sexy sexologist, for stopping in. And also, I would like to thank Mr. Richard Elfman one more time. And I'm actually right now, I was kind of like going crazy because I couldn't find where he's going to be playing this Friday. But as you know, he talked about last week that he's going to be holding a screening. And it's going to be at the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana. And the guests, the Oingo Boingo tribute band, Dead Man's Party, who are really good friends of mine and everybody else's, they're going to be there as well. And it's going to be April 18th, this coming Friday, and it's going to be really cool. So, yeah, he's going to be showing a screening of Forbidden Zone 2, and Dead Man's Party is going to be doing a concert. It's going to be a blast. So if you can make it, it's at the Frida Cinema. It's on 305 East 4th Street, Santa Ana, California. And yeah, so if you can make it down, try to make it to that. It's going to be amazing. And so, yeah, last week we were talking about, you know, like crazy, you know, fetishes and things like that. And I was talking about how when I was young, I used to like fucking my doll and stuff like that. Well, actually, I was doing a little research and I happened to come across like this article about crazy objects and things that people love to have sex with. Now, I know that I talked to you guys last week and I revealed a couple personal things about myself. One being that I used to be a phone sex operator. I loved it. And yeah, I used to have, you know, guys calling me all the time, telling me all kinds of crazy shit. But I forgot to mention my one favorite customer. His name was Bill. And speaking of crazy objects, now I know most of us, we remember the movie American Pie when the guy was fucking a pie. But have you ever heard of somebody putting their dick in a sandwich? Well, my caller, Bill, called me one day and he told me, he's like, yeah, you know, I was making this really good sandwich. It was on English muffin and it had peanut butter and he put honey in it and some bananas. And he was like, it was just dripping so wet and so sticky and everything. You know what? My fucking dick got hard. So I just put my dick in the middle of the sandwich and I started fucking the sandwich. And I wanted to laugh my ass off when he told me this, but you know, I have to be like, oh, baby, yeah, that's so hot. So, and he's like, yeah, he was fucking the sandwich and he was like, it was nice. I was like, so tell me about it. Was it wet? Like, was it sticky like a pussy? And he was like, yeah, it was really sticky and it was tight. And, you know, my dick was just going back and forth and I came in the sandwich and then I ate it. So the motherfucker ate his own cum in the sandwich. And I was just like, I was kind of grossed out, but I was like, oh, baby, so what did your cum taste like? Was it sweet? And he was like, oh, yeah, the mixture of the honey and the peanut butter and, you know, all that and the bananas. And then with my cum in there, it was just so fucking juicy and succulent. I'm like, oh, baby, I wish I could have a taste of that sandwich. Lying my ass off, because I know I'd probably throw the fuck up if anybody fed me a sandwich with a whole bunch of fucking cum and all that shit in it. So, yeah, that was a crazy one of crazy objects that I've ever heard of, somebody fucking a sandwich. I mean, I don't know. Why don't you go to Subway or something and get like a fucking meatball sandwich or something and stick your dick in that and see how you like that? Nice and warm and hot and bubbly and bumpy and shit. So, yeah, so we have that. And then I wanted to tell a story also about a friend of mine. Now, we all know that, you know, I'm crazy, whatever. And I didn't know anything when I was young. It was like about, I don't know, it was probably like in my early 20s or something. And I met this guy and he really liked me. And he was cool and everything. You know, he was like a black belt in karate or something like that. So he had a really, really nice body and a good looking face. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the movie The Last Dragon with Vanity and Timac. You know, that fine motherfucker that like did all the karate and shit, and Vanity was all singing, whatever. But he kind of looked like that. But, you know, it's like, it's one thing to have a good body and be fine as fuck, but then he still had the mentality of like a 5-year-old. So I just couldn't really get with that. It was like, damn, you look good or whatever. And, you know, your body slamming, your face and everything. But why do you fucking act like a goddamn 5-year-old? So I just really couldn't vibe with that. But I remember I used to tease this motherfucker. And I know when I'm on here, I talk a lot, talk down about women who dick tease men because I don't believe in it anymore. But I was thinking about like these crazy ass stories, you know, and I remember back in the day, I used to dick tease the fuck out of this guy. And before I you know, started doing phone sex, this is how I knew that I would be a good phone sex operator, because I would have phone sex with this guy like every night, and just like I used to tease the fuck out of him. So he told me one time that he had an object that he liked to put his dick into, and you know, he'll put like some lube or something in there. And I'm like, so what was it? I come to find out, you ever go to those sex shops and you see like those those pussies? I call them pocket pussies.
That's a pocket pussy.
It's a pocket pussy, right? Yeah, yeah. But it's too big to go in your pocket, though.
That's true.
Yeah. But he told me that he had one of those things. And so I would sit on the phone and I would, you know, tell him that, you know, tell him what my pussy looked like. Oh, yeah, it's shaved and it's pink. And he'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he like, I could hear him jacking off. And I'd tell him, go get your pocket pussy. And I can hear him like, like breathing super hard, fucking the hell out of this pocket pussy. Like, and I'm telling him like, yeah, you know, he's like, am I ever going to be able to fuck you and have sex with you? I'm like, oh yeah, baby. Do you like to eat pussy? Like I'm getting his hopes up so high, making him think that one day he'll be able to eat my pussy. One day he'll be able to fuck me. There was no way. 'Cause you got the mentality of a fucking 5-year-old motherfucker. I mean, I at least have the mentality of a 13-year-old or something, but this motherfucker act like he was 5 years old and he was like 22 years old. So I'm telling him, all right, so what are you doing with the pocket pussy? He's like, well, I got it on my bed right now. And I said, are you opening the lips up? He's like, yeah. I was like, pretend like those are my lips, baby. Open those fucking lips up. He's like, but wait, I got to put my lube in it first. So I guess, yeah, you have to put some lube or something in the shit. And then it warms up.
I had a pocket pussy one.
You had a pocket. Yeah. You look like a motherfucker that would have a pocket pussy.
Yeah, I look like a pocket pussy guy, huh?
So what did you do with your pocket pussy, Chester?
It was mostly a joke, but I did try to fuck it once. And it was weird. The pocket pussy I had was a bargain pocket pussy, because the hair, it had like hair glued to it, but it looked like the bristles from like a broom or something.
Really?
You know, it was a poor pocket pussy.
So it was like a knockoff pocket pussy.
Yeah, it was a second rate pocket pussy, but that thing hurt. You know,
it
wasn't good. No, it wasn't good.
I thought it was supposed to feel like a real pussy.
No, it did not at all.
Oh shit.
No.
So you were like, oh fuck this. Like,
yeah, this is a terrible pocket pussy. And then I shoved it in the grill of my friend's car. So yeah, my friend came out and he had a pussy on the front of his car. Yeah.
Wow. See, I thought those things were supposed to feel well. Apparently, my friend must have got the expensive kind of pocket pussy, because he was like, he was fucking the shit out of this thing while I was talking to him.
He had the high-end pocket pussy.
I guess so. I mean, he didn't look like he had much money, but I guess he spent whatever, all his little allowance or
saved
whatever.
Up on that one.
Yeah, he saved up for that pocket pussy. I have seen some of those, though, with the hair and everything, and Yeah. So, and what about those other ones that, like, you stick your dick in and it's like...
The fleshlight?
Yeah. You know.
You don't even have to say it. I know what you're talking about. I've never tried a fleshlight, but... No. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those don't look good to me.
They don't either. They don't look good to me
I think
either.
If you're going to masturbate...
Mm-hmm.
Your hand's pretty hard to beat.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. No pun intended.
Yeah, but I used to, my friend Bill used to call me when I used to do phone sex. He would tell me about all these different toys and shit that he had. And he actually had a dildo that he would take showers with it. And he would, it had like the little suction on the back. So he would stick it on the wall. And then back into it.
Wow.
On all fours.
Wow.
He loved fucking himself in the ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he gay?
No, but he, not that I know of.
Just
I know that
ass play?
He just liked to, like, fuck himself in the ass a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I would pretend like I was masturbating or whatever, you know, he asked me what I was doing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got two fingers in my pussy right now, and it's really wet. He was like, do you ever play with your ass? And I thought about it. I was like, oh, no, not really. Not when I'm masturbating. I don't stick no fingers in the ass. But, of course, to him, of course, I lied. But
yeah, you're going to tell him whatever he wants to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I don't. I'm not going to stick any fingers in my ass when
no.
I'm masturbating. No, I mean, because just like you said, just like your hands are hard to beat when you're beating your dick. You know, pussy hole is hard to beat when you're masturbating. You know,
yeah.
It's like, why am I going to put anything in my ass?
Yeah.
That's for exit only, but we'll get to that later. Speaking of ass play, actually, moving on. So, yeah, I have another story. And actually, I was going to save this story or probably not tell it. I just won't give any names out. But speaking of ass play. All right, so there I am. I'm working in a salon, and actually I have a salon nightmares that I'm going to be sharing with you guys a little later on, but I was working in a salon, and this salon, particular salon, it had like a lot of like, you know, famous rappers going in and out because the lady who owned it, she would, you know, braid a lot of their hair. So I was there, you know, I was really young, you know, whatever, and I was working, so I did part-time receptionist and part-time, you know, I was a hairdresser. So one time the guy, one of these guys from this really popular band called Bone Thugs and Harmony. Are you familiar with them? Okay. I don't know if I should, I don't know how many people are listening to this fucking show or whatever, so I don't know if I want to put them on blast or whatever.
Do it.
Do it? Okay, so they were very popular at the time with the song Crossroads, and I fell in love with one of them, of course, the one being Busy Bone. He was the one who used to come to the salon and get his hair braided, and every time when he would come in, we would kind of stare at each other, and he would really stare at me, like, up and down, like, the whole time he was getting his hair braided, he'd just sit there and, like, stare at me, like, and I would wear, like, short mini skirts and stuff, and, you know, I didn't know if he liked me or not or whatever, because I figured, oh, you know, he's a rapper, he's, you know, gangster rapper, whatever, and very famous, I'm sure he gets a lot of fucking pussy. So, come to find out later on, a good friend of mine that I used to go to the gym and I would hang out with, his name was Frenchie. Come to find out, his brother was Busy Bone's bodyguard. So I'm telling, you know, my friend, I'm like, yeah, so Busy Bone comes to the salon. He's like, yeah, my brother's his bodyguard. I was like, shut the fuck up. He's like, no, seriously. So I'm like, oh my God, if you're not lying, hook me up with that right now. Like, hook me up. He was like, all right, I could do that, whatever. He's like, but I have to tell you one thing though. And I'm like, what? He's like, Busy Bone is really into like anal sex and shit. And at that time, my ass was a virgin. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, having anal sex or whatever. Anal sex was very new to me at that time. And I'm like, what? Ain't no way I'm letting him fuck me in my ass. I don't know about that. I just don't know. Well, apparently my friend Frenchie lied to this motherfucker when he told him that I was interested in hanging out with him. He lied. My Chester went there. So I love it. she lied to him and told him that, you know, he's like, yeah, she gonna do this. She gonna suck your dick. She gonna do this. She gonna do that. She gonna let you have anal sex with her. So dude was like, oh, yeah, cool. He didn't know that it was me, the girl from the salon. So fast forward, it was a Saturday, and the group Bone Thugs and Harmony, they had a show going on in L.A. somewhere. And after the show, Busy and I were going to meet up. So finally, you know, sitting at my friend's house, we're waiting, we're chilling, drinking or whatever, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally, Busy comes back in a limo with his friends, with an animal who's Frenchie's brother, the bodyguard. And they come, and as soon as he sees me, he's like, oh, my God, it's you? Girl, why didn't you tell me you were, like, peeping me and all this stuff? I'm like, oh, I didn't know, whatever, you know, whatever. So we get into his limo, and away we go to his hotel. This is where things get interesting. We're at his, so this motherfucker smokes weed. I swear to God, like big ass blunts, like this size. I'm not playing.
Non-stop.
Like he does not eat. He just drinks. He was drinking just Night Train and weed. Like, yeah.
Night Train.
That was back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah. All he drank was Night Train. He smoked weed. He did not eat anything. We went to his room. He ordered some food. He barely like took two bites, like some little like slider sandwiches. I don't know. I don't remember quite. But, you know, I took a little puff of his weed or whatever because I didn't want to look like a square. And I had a little bit of his weed. And so we're talking, he's like, oh, so I didn't know that, you know, he talked like he was just high, like, yeah, you know, I didn't know that you were interested in me, girl. Like, yeah. And I'm like,
super faded.
Yeah, he was like, you really can't understand anything that he's saying because he was just like, it was like very, he talks very little, like, yeah, yes, won't you, you know, like that, you know, you can't understand what the fuck he's saying. So anyway, we start messing around like later as it got later and we're drinking Night Train and, and shit. We start messing around and we get to fucking. Oh, God. OK, now this is so we get to fucking. Let me just say that the penis wasn't what I expected.
He didn't match the stereotype.
No, he didn't. Well, he's mixed. He's half Italian and half black, but okay. But still, you know, I would think like most gangster rappers would have like big ass, like, you know, because I was talking about my dick, yeah, put it in your bitch last night. I always compare the penis to, okay, you remember, you know, The Price is Right. You know that the microphone, that Barker microphone, where it's like skinny with just a little head?
Yeah.
That was what it looked like.
Oh, wow.
That's what it was. And it wasn't that long either. So I could barely feel it. And come on, like, I didn't fuck, like, I don't have like a huge fucking vagina gaping vagina hole or nothing. Come on, my shit is pretty tight. I couldn't really feel it.
Wow.
So, like, we changed positions, and, like, he's like, all right. He's like, we changed positions. He's like, get in doggy style. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, doggy style, yeah. So he gets up butt naked, dick sticking straight up in the air, and he goes to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, well, maybe you got to take a shit or something. I don't know. Why did you just jump
right
up?
Right
in the middle. So he's, like, he's in the bathroom, and he gets the hotel lotion. And pours it in his hands and coming back and doing like this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I'm like,
oh,
yeah.
I see what this is leading up
mm-hmm.
to.
Yeah. So I'm like, and so I sit down real quick. I'm like, what do you think you're about to do? He's like, well, you know, Frenchie told me that, yeah, you know, I was going to fuck you in your ass. And I was like, hell to the motherfucking no, you are not. And especially, I've never had anal sex before, but I know that you are not supposed to be using any fucking type of lotion or nothing like that to put in my fucking ass.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, but baby, I thought that, you know, I was going to fuck. Not there. And I was like, my ass is a fucking virgin. And no, you are not fucking me in my ass, especially not with no lotion, dude. Come on. And I guess it must have broke his little spirit because he was just like, oh, man. And then he kind of like, he seems like he got normal after that. Like, I made him go normal because he just, like, we were sitting there. We were actually, you know, having a good conversation, like, all night long. Like, I don't know. Something must have happened.
He chilled his high, maybe.
Yeah.
He came down.
He came to the earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, so we're sitting there talking or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I'm glad that you're not like a lot of them be, you know what I'm saying? But Frenchie fucking told me, man, that you was going to let me have, you know, let me fuck you in your ass. It's like, I even told Frenchie that you were not fucking me in my ass. He asked me that a long time ago. I already made it clear that that wasn't going on. So he's like, oh, man, he's like, yeah, so, you know, I want you to, you know, be my girl or whatever, because you somebody I can respect and whatever. So we wake up the next morning, the whole day, I'm hanging out with him. He did not eat. He took me to get something to eat. He did not eat. He ate his fucking blunt and drank his fucking night train and whatever, like Crown Royal, whatever the fuck he was drinking in the fucking limo. And I was like, dude.
The night train cracks me up.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's night
train. That's bum wine.
I know. He had that motherfucking night train, though, but... Yeah, so we kind of talked or whatever off and on. He was always, you know, on tour and shit. But I remember one time I decided that, you know, his birthday was coming up. So I decided for his birthday, you know, I'm a funny motherfucker and I like to get like gag gifts and like funny ass cards and shit like that. So I went to this specific store and I got him a card, and the card had like an old lady that was in doggy style position with like saggy titties and shit.
Nice.
And then I forgot what I said in the card, but it was like, oh yeah, I said, remember this, busy, like that. So I guess he got offended though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I gave him like, you know, some dark chocolate roses or some shit like that. I think he got offended because he just looked at me, he's like, he didn't talk to me. Yeah, so anyway. That's my story on that. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So we're going to go to break for a minute. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about my salon nightmares after this.
Or press 3 to decline. This customer is calling your listing in. Women Fetish. Fem Doms. To your member name.
Ava.
To accept this call, press 1. To decline, press 3. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. How you doing? You are fucking fantastic. Okay, I'm sitting on the couch. I just grabbed the glass I was drinking out of, and I got my little dick inside it. And I'm waiting for it to come. Since I took so much coke, I don't know if it's going to come right away, but I'm just going to leave it there. Fuck, you're so hot. I really want to serve you so bad. I just want to be yours as long as you let me. I have some tired typing. The fucking hottest woman I've ever fucking met in my life. Oh, no, I'm not hard right now. I'm not hard. I'm just holding my dick in the cup and I'm peeing. I'm going to start peeing. Hold on. I'm going to stand over here so I can read what you're writing. You were thinking of Amy. No, I wasn't. I was not. I was hoping she would get lost. And all I was thinking was, I plan on talking to you as long as you let me, and I hope that she doesn't get, hope she gets busy so she doesn't have to fucking realize I'm doing something bad, you know? Because I'm going to talk to you as long as you let me. I adore you. I want to worship you so fucking bad. I've never, just so you know, I know I talk too much. I'll take a break after the sentence. I have never...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm back on SkidRowStudios.com. So I hope you guys enjoyed that story about Busy Bone. And that motherfucker's probably going to come back with his fucking boys and shit and kick my ass.
I hope he doesn't hear that. Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
Or one of his buddies or whatever. Whatever, so what? You did it, and what you going to do? I pack a gat too, motherfucker. Anyway... So I come across this funny commercial. I got a new commercial out. You want to hear it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I put out a new fragrance, and it's called Still Vagina.
Oh, nice.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, let me hear that. It's coming.
Okay, wait. I got to go back. Okay.
say word. My man is sleeping right now because we just have sex. Do you want to know why? Because of my new fragrance, Steel Vagina.
Nice.
You smell of the deep dark pool.
Wow, that's a great sponsor.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my fragrance. Go out and get it. Actually, you can get it on Delia's Jewels, because you can go to my Facebook and look up, go to my Delia's Dark Side Radio Show, and go to Delia's Jewels, and you can pick that up. It's called Steel Vagina, and it's the smell of the deep dark poos.
Nice, nice.
So, I don't know if I ever told you guys. I think I might have mentioned that I used to be a hairdresser almost 20 years in the business, and I decided to get the fuck out because I'm going to share some stories with you and the reason why I decided to get the fuck out. The business was never really meant for me, I don't think. It was never my passion or anything like that, and I feel like I wasted almost 20 years of my fucking life in the business. But I have a few like little like stories, actually. One, we're going to start off with number 9. When I first got out of beauty school, you know, it's every person's dream that's in the hair industry that, you know, you're going to get big. You want to work behind the scenes. It's like some, you want to do like Prince's hair or something. You know, you want to work for like the big names and shit like that in the business. Well, I had those aspirations too. So right after I got out of beauty school, I decided to go work for one of the biggest names in one of the biggest salons in hair business at that time in Beverly Hills. I decided to go work for Jose Ibear. And I went to go work for Jose Ibear as a assistant, of course, because when you just get out of school, you can't just step on the floor and just think you're going to be doing hair. No, that's not how it works. After you get out of school, they want you to at least spend like 2 years being an assistant. So I worked for Jose Ibear, and he is just as fucking bitch made and flamboyant as his ass is portrayed to be on TV and shit. And every time I see that motherfucker now on TV, I feel like I want to go through the TV and like punch him in his fucking face too. Like every time I'm like, motherfucker, because he's such a fucking asshole. So I was working for him for about, I don't know, about 3 weeks or something like that. Never met the fucker, you know, washed hair, did the shit, you know, how they, you know, they treat their, you know, assistants like basically like fucking, you know, slaves, basically. You cannot sit down. When you're standing, you have to like stand at attention, erect, with your hands behind your back, like you're in a fucking army and shit, and wait for, you know, wait to be called to shampoo a client or something like that. Well, one time, Jose and Bear came in. I guess he was off. He was off from doing a tour or something like that. And he had like some client or something. So I was available. So I was so happy. Like, oh, yeah, it's Jose Bear. I finally get to meet him and stuff. He's like, you come here and you sweep this now. Like talking to me like I'm just like this fucking big and shit. So I'm like, OK, whatever. And I had on like this little mini skirt, and I had on like some shoes, tennis shoes, you know, that actually they, you know, obviously they tie up or whatever. So I'm sweeping the shit or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this motherfucker is like, he's a fucking punk, man. I can't stand him already. So, you know, I sweep his fucking little room or whatever. And I go on about my business. So, oh my God, lo and behold, I look down. My goddamn shoe was untied. Oh my God, what do I do? You're not supposed to sit down or else you would get fucking fired. But guess what? I'm wearing a little bitty skirt. I don't have on any shorts underneath. I'm wearing like some some thong panties because I was a little hobo at the time. You know, I was like in my 20s and shit, and you know, everything was rocking. Of course, I'm going to wear like some thong panties underneath a mini skirt, and I'm not going to bend over because I don't want nobody looking at my ass. So I decide, okay, nobody's looking. I'm going to sit down and tie my shoe. Bad move. Jose Ibear is like what he likes to be called. He comes out and he's like, what are you doing? you are not supposed to be sitting down in my salon. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I just bend down. Just, you know, I couldn't bend down because I'm wearing, you know, a mini skirt. I had to tie my shoe. No, you're not supposed to sit down in my salon. I better not ever catch you sitting down in my salon again. Like, fuck, dude, damn, I just tied my shoe. What the fuck? So anyway, the next day I was off and I was working at Bally's at the time. And so I get a phone call. I check my messages from home and I get a phone call. These little bitches couldn't even fire me in person. They had to wait till my day off and call me at home and leave a message and fucking fired me because I sat down. I have never been able to get over that ever since. That scarred me for life. So like I said, every time whenever I see Jose Ebert, I fucking want to kick the fucking screen out. Like, I swear to God, I'm going to punch him in the fucking face. So fuck you, Jose Ebert. That's number 9. Number 8, a Fantastic Sam's story. So I was working at this place called Fantastic Sam's. I'm sure you guys all, you know, the chain, everybody is pretty familiar with. I decided, you know, I stopped doing hair for a little while because I decided for about 4 years of my life, I would be a stripper instead. I got tired of doing hair. Plus, this was like after the busy bone shit and after working at Exotic Hair and Nails, after the Jose and Bear, whatever, I decided, okay, this shit ain't working for me. I want to make more money, so I want to be a stripper. So that's what I did for a little while. I came back and decided, okay, move to another location. I decided to work for Fantastic Sam. Ran into another bitch, just like Jose Ebert, another flamboyant gay owner. Actually, there was two of them. One owner actually worked in the salon, and the other owner was like really old, his lover was real old, and he couldn't work anymore, so he would sit home. And so he had all these, like, really, like, fucked up cameras all around his salon. Like, no matter where you went, he was watching you from home. Like, you know, and he would send, like, these really rude fucking messages on the computer, like, tell Dilia to stop talking so fucking much. Like, shit like that. Like, tell Dilia to go take a break, or why did you charge that lady only $9 for her haircut when it should have been $16? Just like fucked up shit. Or, you know, he would like curse at you like, fucking shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, stand telling you shit like that. So I got tired of that shit. I'm like, you know what? Why is he always sending like these rude ass fucking, you know, these, you know, notes and shit on the thing? So I decided that, you know what? I don't want to work here anymore because it's kind of fucked up. And I don't like the whole rude fucking note passing shit like that through the fucking computer and cursing people out, calling people bitches and shit. Like, that wasn't my thing. It's like, you know, why don't you be here? Call me a bitch to my face so I can fucking knock you out. So anyway, I decided that, you know, I wasn't going to go to my shift the next day. I was just going to sit home and get drunk and not fucking go the next day. So I slept in. I get this phone call from Leonard, the owner. He's like, are you coming in for your shift? Supposed to be there at 9. It's already 10 o'clock. Are you coming in for your shift? Well, obviously, I'm not. It's fucking 10 o'clock. I'm supposed to be there at 9. You know what? I want to fucking slap you. I'm like, what? What? So my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, grabbed the phone. He was like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? You gonna fucking slap my girl, motherfucker? I'll come up there and fucking slap your ass and all this shit. And it's like, it's like going back and forth. We're like cursing each other out. I'm like, fuck you. So basically, that was the end of that. But then I decided I was going to file a lawsuit because he lied about some shit or whatever. And so, yeah, that's number 8. I got something in my eye. I gotta get out real quick. So can we go to break?
Shoot 'em up. Just bust up in your pair, hitters, we be good to ping ya. You know, we know, you don't wanna roll, cause when we give it to ya, we're gonna
bring it to you. Oh yeah.
Right off the jump, ooh, now I got to let you know. When you see me, better roll it with the big shotguns. And we deep when we creep, never sleeping. And we dropping no whammies on fools who wanna get dumb enough. Got at you know like that. These niggas come around, they don't know how to act. In fact, I'm at the track in the back with a couple of my cats in the hood. Smoking weed and nothing, no good. Ray dog in the truck and he rolling that bag. A slang that bet on over the hill. So me and the rest of these thugs can marinate. We straight, get high so high. That's how my mental, that's how my mental stay. As I parlay like every day. Don't think I don't pick play a Haitian. But you better be pinning yourself or contend with the M11 357. Automatic weapons from my ship. Niggas wanna take my health away, check yourself. Trying to contend, but they couldn't win. Kid took it to the head with the 50 hand. Now we in a whip.
I love that Chester's playing Bone Thugs and Harmony. That's fucking awesome. So yeah, sorry about that, folks. I had a little something, like a little eyelash or something in my eye, so I had to get that out really quick because I couldn't read my notes here. But anyway, so yeah, little fucked up things like that. And it's like most of my whole career, it was like basically dealing with fucked up owners and shit like that. You know, it's just like people think just because like you own something, whatever, you could just disrespect people and like, you know, talk to people like shit, especially in the hair industry. I don't know what the fuck, but I was always like getting into some fucked up shit. So that was number 8, the Fantastic Sams. Number 7, I was working at, I worked at a lot of fucking places. I managed like 3 different Supercuts stores. I was all over the fucking circuit because it was like, damn, you know, I was trying to find my home somewhere, my forever home, just like a fucking dog or cat, and I could never find it because of fucked up owners. So I would run away and go somewhere else, just like a dog or a fucking cat would. So, number 7, I knocked out a rude client. I didn't knock him out, but I basically knocked him out his fucking chair because he was being really fucking rude. This was at Great Clips, and like, I don't know, it's like always the, you know, these chain places, like these corporate places where the clients know they can really do fucked up shit and say fucked up shit to you, and it's like always the customer's right. Jeremy, do you go to these places to get your hair cut?
Which kind of places are you talking
like
about?
Like Supercuts or Great Clips or Sports.
You know what?
Clips.
My girlfriend right now has me going to like fancy places.
Oh, I've good. Never,
I used
good
to
for
go
her.
To Supercuts and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But now she's got me going to these uppity places.
Oh, good for her. That's good. Yeah,
yeah. It's Umberto's in Beverly Hills. You know that?
I've heard
joint?
Of them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's where I'm going now. Okay. I'm not used to that. I'm used to the Supercuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. She's got you going to nice places like
yeah.
that. Yeah, because people don't act stupid in expensive places like that, like they do at Supercuts or, you know, some of these other fucked up places. So, yeah, there was this guy. He was like a big ass, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say Filipino or something like that. But he was just like being rude from jump the minute he got in my chair. So I'm like, yeah, you know, how do you want your hair cut and all this stuff? And he's like, well, don't you know? Can't you see? No, bitch, because your hair already grew out. So how the fuck am I supposed to know? I'm not a fucking mind reader. I'm a little psychic. I'm psycho. But I don't know how to fucking read your fucking hair and know what the fuck you want. So he's just being rude. So I'm like, okay, just breathe deeply. Breathe. So I'm like, all right. So he's like a number 4 on the sides and blah, 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 this. And you know, basically everybody's getting that, you know, shaved on the side and spiky haircut shit. So I'm like, I'm just being cool, whatever. So when we get to his sideburns, he's like, he wants like the barbershop type sideburns where the sideburns go like into a point. Well, we're not trained, sir, to cut your fucking sideburns into a goddamn point, okay? We're just trained to do them straight and square or shave those motherfuckers off. And he's like, well, I want them at a point just like they are now and blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't tell how they are now because just like I said, stupid ass, they have grown out and we don't do that. So he goes, well, just try it anyway. So I go, okay, I just attempt it. So I'm doing his sideburns and he's like, I want it a little bit more closer. Don't you know how to fucking cut hair? Dude. I took that motherfucking chair and I shook the shit out of it. And I shook his fat ass out that chair on the floor. I was like, who the fuck are you talking to, motherfucker? And at Great Clips, we have these sales that are like, you know, right, like they separate each booth. So like that sale fucking fell off and I shook that motherfucker out the chair and he was like, oh my God. So then the owner comes walk. Well, she's not the owner. Actually, she was a manager. She comes walking up and she's like, she's like a tall, goofy bitch. And she's like walking all slow and shit. She's like walking like, what's going on? And she's like eating her banana all slow like, okay, Monique, what did you do? I'm like, this motherfucker's talking shit to me, goddammit, talking about I don't know how to fucking cut hair. He's being rude. So I shook his ass off the goddamn chair. She was like, all right. I'm like, you know what? I gotta fucking go. I gotta get some air. It's like, you can take care of this or whatever. And so she's being all nice. I really hated this shit, too. I hate it. They know, like, the managers know when, you know, the person is wrong, right? And then they go and try to woo-saw the motherfucker back over their chair. They try. I know they know that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, like, defuse the situation. But I hated it because she was just, like, eating her banana and just like, okay, woo, woo, woo. And I'm just like, man, I just wanted to go back over there and just, like, kick this fool in his face. Like, oh, I was waiting for him outside, I swear. And he, like, went the other way because I was pissed. I was sitting on a bench outside waiting for this motherfucker because I'm like, yeah, I'm not at work now. You know, say that shit to me now. Like, I was ready to whoop some ass. So, yeah, that's my little great clip story. And he came back in like maybe about a month later, and I knew exactly who he was. He walked in, sat the hell down, sat really nicely. Yeah, they actually kept my ass there after that because Greg, the owner, he was pretty much on my side, and he knew that, you know, sometimes clients could get really fucking stupid with people. And if any of you are, you know, clients of these places, stop treating these fucking hairstylists like shit. Because one of them is going to straight whoop your ass one day. I swear to God they are. All right? So don't be disrespectful to your hairdresser or else you'll be coming out with like some fucked up, like, you know, gouges in your head or something. So, yeah, that's my little great clip story. Moving right along. Okay. So great clips. There is another spot that I worked at. For very briefly, it's called Sport Clips. This is a new chain. Just started like a few years ago, I think around like 2009 or 10. It was just brought to LA and Valencia. That's where we were. And yeah, so this place, they have this treatment called the MVP because it's all like sports related. And basically, it's supposed to be a man's salon. But then women tried to protest. Like, my whole thing was when I was in the business, I really love doing men's haircuts. Like, I love working, like, the barbershops, places like that, just fucking with men. Because women get stupid worse than men. Like, that was the only time where I got, where somebody actually got stupid that was a man. But mostly, like, the women get stupid. The men are just, like, you know, laid back. If they don't like the haircut, you know, unless they got like some feminine genes in them or some shit like that, you know, they've been drinking too much soy milk and shit. So they're like, you know, they got too much estrogen and shit. Maybe they're growing some titties or something. They don't really start a lot of shit with you. But, you know, women do. But at this one particular night, and I remember this night so clear and crisp, I was tired as fuck because I think I had did like a double, like I worked like a night shift and had to come in and work another night. So I was like really fucking tired. So it was like towards the end of the shift and this woman comes in and she's got this kind of like mentally disabled son. You can tell like he's probably like 45 or something, but, you know, he's mentally disabled. So, you know, he's probably like acting like kind of like a 2-year-old. He had on powder blue shorts or something like that. And guess whose turn it was to go up and have to cut this guy's hair? Yours truly. So I get the ticket and, you know, I'm cool, whatever. And, you know, they get a shampoo and go sit him down in my chair. All right. So the whole time I'm cutting his hair, you know, he's asking me like these questions and stuff, you know, like, you know, kind of like kind of like a three-year-old, you know, like, how are you? What's your name? You know, so just, you know, how people are mentally disabled, whatever. So, you know, I'm having a conversation with this dude. So finally, I'm done with this guy's hair. And he kind of smelled funny. And I'm like, God, okay. It's like kind of like that kind of smell that you get where it's like kind of like muck mouth makes you want to like kind of throw up, that kind of stanky ass smell. You know what I'm talking about?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And it's like the whole time I have to cut this guy's hair, they don't know. And I'm like, Mom, you know, like, you know, your son is like probably is 45 and he's mentally disabled. Like, can't you like put him in a fucking shower or something, in a bath, bathe his ass before you go and get his hair cut and shit? Like, I'm looking in his ears and he's growing like fucking like mushrooms and potatoes and shit in his ear because they don't clean it out and it's like all kinds of fungus and shit growing in there. But that's not even the worst part, Chester. The worst part is when he got up out of my chair, he shit his pants.
What?
He shit his pants, Chester.
He actually shit himself.
He shit himself, Chester.
What made him shit himself?
He was mentally disabled. I don't know.
Damn.
I don't. Maybe the haircut felt too good.
How'd you deal with that?
Oh, God. Okay. So I didn't know that he shit. Like, I was smelling stuff, but I didn't smell shit. She had to slide him out of the chair. And so when he was sliding out of the chair, I see like this track, a brown track. And even in a black chair, I could see it. It was like a wet, like brown track, like when she was pulling him out of the chair. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it dripped, a little bit dripped on the floor.
Oh, man.
So... Can you see why I got out of this motherfucking job?
Yeah, wow.
And so I look, and he's wearing powder blue pants, light pants. I look on the back of his pants, and there's like this whole like fucking like pile, like just like a puddle on the back of his pants, like stain, like an ass, big ass, like he just sat in like some fucking milky shit.
Damn.
Yeah, like somebody just threw his ass and just set him down right in some fucking milky shit.
I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say to that.
Man, I was speechless too, and I was like, I was horrified. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I think he just like used a bathroom on himself. And so good thing the owner was there. I'm like, I went into the office. I'm like, Wayne, oh my God, my fucking client, he just fucking shit himself. He was like, what? It's like, yes, he shit himself. It's all over the chair. There's some on the floor and I'm not cleaning it up. I'm fucking not cleaning it up. So two of the owners were there. So they come out and they're like, you know, looking, and one of the owners is giving me this face like, ew. Like, and I'm like, yeah, ew, but I'm not cleaning that shit up.
Yeah.
So the owner actually gets some gets some Windex, and the guy, I think he's still shitting himself because like the stain was getting like bigger and wider is like spreading, you know, and it was like kind of dripping on the floor. So they had to clean my chair with Windex and clean the floor, and I was just like, man, can I go home? I was like, I gotta fucking go home. I can't stay here. I can't deal with that shit.
Yeah, like, you gotta get out of there.
The fuck? I'm sorry. I put my shit up and I was like, I'm out of here. I couldn't, like, okay. I could deal with the fucking like rude ass clients, but shitting your pants? No.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was that. Okay. So now we get into another bullshit thing. Okay. So I was working at this one place called the barber shop. All right. I really loved working. This is one place I really liked working at the time because I was making really, really good money. And it's like, I was only working, you know, doing men's haircuts, which I loved. And so, you know, I was working for an owner, basically. She had MS. An MS for an MF. I mean, I would never wish this disease on anybody ever, but this, I can say that this fucking bitch deserved this fucking disease because she was just like the worst fucking person in the world. And she was just evil and mean to, like, everybody who, you know, everybody who was, like, whoever walked in her fucking salon, she'd be like, but I kind of liked it, though, because she was kind of a breath of fresh air at the time, because, like, she would tell people, you know, they would ask her, you know, for, like, you know, a specific haircut or something like that. And she'd get all sassy and be like, you know what? If you don't like it, you can take your ass down to Supercuts or whatever and have them fucking fix it or some shit like that. And sometimes I like that because it was like, yeah, you know, like some people would try to come in and pull that shit. So we had the kind of clients that were respectful. But then sometimes she would just like be rude to people for no apparent reason. But anyway, I'll never forget the time that I was wrongfully accused of threatening a kid. I was wrongfully accused of threatening a kid saying that I was going to chop his fucking head off. What the fuck? This bitch lied on my ass. Okay, so here it is. I didn't come in because I call her and tell her, you know, I'm not coming in because I just got a phone call. No, not a phone call, actually. I found out on Facebook. My brother contacted me on Facebook. No, actually, no, it was a phone call. That's right. Our phone was on. So, yeah, I got a phone call. My brother called me and told me that my mother had a stroke. So, and they're in Chicago. So I'm like, oh, fuck, you know, and it kind of fucked with me because my mother and I, we were estranged. We, you know, I don't have really a relationship with her. My dad raised me since I was four or whatever. You know, we were trying to rebuild our relationship. And then, you know, like a week later, find out she had a stroke. You know, so I call, you know, the place. I'm calling, you know, let Margaret know that I'm not coming in because, you know, I'm like raw mentally fucked up right now. Like, I just can't, you know, concentrate because my mom had a stroke. So she's like, all right, take, you know, a couple of days off or whatever. So I'm like, fine, thinking everything is okay. Like the day that I was supposed to come back, I get a phone call from them and they're telling me, you know, just to, you know, hang out, whatever, it's going to be dead. Then the next day I get this weird phone call and supposedly somebody's, this kid's mom, this is what the shit that they told me is, this kid's mom came in and said that I threatened to cut her kid's ear off. What the fuck? First of all, and so I'm like, okay, this is some fucking bullshit right now, because first of all, I would never ever threaten a kid like that. And if I had have threatened somebody like that, I tell my husband every fucking thing. I would have told him, like, this kid was getting on my fucking nerves. And I said, God damn it, if you don't sit still, I'm going to fucking cut your fucking ear off. So supposedly, you know, this lady supposedly came in and she's like, yeah, you know, she threatened to cut my child's ear off. So I'm like, well, who was a kid, you know, whatever. And they're like, I don't know. It's like some lady or whatever. I'm like, you guys are full of shit. If you guys don't want me to fucking come back, don't fucking make shit up about me, you know, that's not true. I mean, I felt like I was Michael Jackson or some shit at the time. Like, I felt like somebody was wrongfully accusing me of, like, it was like weird. I just felt like, ooh, like weird, like Michael Jackson. Like, I know I didn't fucking do it, but these, like, they everybody's fucking believing it. You know, it's like fucking, it was weird, stupid. So anyway, yeah, I supposedly, you know, threatened this kid that I was going to chop his fucking head off with fucking, how am I going to chop somebody's head off, first of all, with clippers, especially those little baby, you know, clippers. Anyway, I just ended up quitting because I was like, that's some fucked up shit right there. You know, why would I fucking do that? I would never threaten a kid. You know, sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't, but I would never fucking threaten a fucking kid. So I got the fuck up out of there. So moving on, next story is about a girl that I was working with. We were pretty tight at first, and then I went back to work over there. It's called Cuts and Color. And she was like being a real fucking bitch when I came back there, and I don't know why, but I kept confronting her and telling her, like, why are you being such a fucking bitch? You know, like, what's up? If you have a problem with me, you know, tell me. Like, I was straight up to her, you know, be straight up. She's like, I don't have a problem with you. And why are you being so defensive? I'm like, I'm not being defensive, bitch. You are. Like, you know, if you got a problem, let's straighten it out right now. Like, you know, tell me. She was like one of the managers or whatever. So I'm like, all right, you know, tell me, you know, what's up? Let's fix it. She would never tell me anything, but she would try to be like real stupid in front of clients and like try to belittle me in front of clients. So I got real pissed off. I'm like, all right, so talking to her is not gonna work. So I gotta do something else. So I'm like thinking, I'm like, this bitch is really pissing me off. I fucking hate her. And I was about to quit anyway. So I'm not proud of myself, but I fucking hated this bitch so much. So I decided to put hair bleach in her fucking lemonade.
You don't mess around, man.
No.
Damn.
No, because she was like, she was being such a bitch. And she tried to belittle me in front of a client. It was something about doing eyebrows or some shit like that. She's like, why are you using that to do that? Like trying to clown me. And I'm like, really? Why are you trying to put me on blast? Like if you see me doing something wrong, pull me to the side. Don't try to clown me. And we've already had this conversation and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be cool. So guess what? You're going to get some fucking like, I didn't put like just a little tiny drop in there. I put like a whole fucking like one of the little, you know, those little scooper things.
Yeah.
Like a full ass, like probably about 3 ounces of that shit.
Wow.
It was bubbling. I told one of my other friends about that. He was like, man, he was like, that's fucked up, Monique. He's like, you know, just pull her to the side and just tell her how you feel. I was like, I tried to, but she wouldn't listen. He's like, don't kill anybody. I was like, but I don't
know. So what happened?
She drank the shit. I don't know. I left.
Nothing happened? That was it? She didn't even notice?
No, because actually it was in like her mix.
Oh, okay.
It was in the mix. So it was like a little bit of mix, and then I put like a whole bunch of that shit in there.
Yeah.
Just like dumped it in there. So I'm sure like when she opened it, she was like, pah, like popped in her face. I'm pretty sure she drank it, but I ended up leaving. But I was like wondering, like, oh, man, like I wish I could be here to see when that bitch fucking drinks that lemonade.
That's funny.
But so, yeah, these are my stories of my salon nightmares and why I decided to get the fuck out. I have a couple more to share with you guys. Let's see, got a couple minutes here. The bald-headed bitch who tried to sue me. This is like the last straw. This happened last year. I was working at a salon, beauty saloon, probably one of my favorite places. You know, I got along with the owner. Finally, there's a place that I get along with the owner and I get along with the coworkers and stuff. So I had an ad running in the paper and this lady, you know, she answered it. She wanted, you know, to get braids. Like, you know, I have braids, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So come in, we'll do the braids. And I explained to her that, you know, the process that I'm going to do. Okay, with these kind of braids, at the end, like about 2 inches away from her hair, I told her that I was going to put just a little bit of nail glue just to kind of seal it so that it won't unravel. And like her braids would be like out within like the next couple of days, it'll last longer. And I had did the same thing to myself. So I'm like, are you cool or comfortable with this? She's like, yeah. So, you know, I'm braiding her hair. I did like half one side. And then she gets up and goes to the bathroom and she's like, she gets all like, I don't know. Does she like smoke some crack or something? I don't know. She gets like, well, she goes to the bathroom and she comes back. She's like, I don't know. I'm not feeling this glue in my hair because it felt like cement. Like she's getting all loud and shit. I'm like, well, fuck. I told you that, you know, it's not cement. And it's going to loosen up eventually. But, you know, I told you, I explained to you, if you don't want me to use it, I'll fucking stop using it right now. She's like, yeah, it just feels like cement. I was like, all right, fine. So I stopped doing it. I was like, well, when your braids start to unravel, don't get upset with me because I already warned you. She's like, all right, whatever. So start braiding her hair. And I'm just trying to diffuse the situation and be as nice and cool and calm and collected as I could be. So I'm braiding her hair and finally finish with it and was like, fine, bitch. Get the fuck out. So she goes to the bathroom and comes back and she looks like she's like kind of upset, but she's not saying a fucking word. She didn't say a fucking word to me after, you know, the first time. So we're done. I go ring her up, whatever. And I asked her, like, I get her a card or whatever. And we have to ask when you get the card because you can't like put the tip on a thing. Like, do you want to add something else? She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, fuck, fine, whatever. So she goes, she calls back later. She's got a whole discrepancy, like talking about her hair fucking feels like cement and all this shit. She's one of these bitches, like, you know, these people who like goes and like, you know, file scams with like just try scams with people, because she told me she had been like in other salons and she pulled some of the same shit. So she was going to try to pull that shit with me, basically, because we're getting cut for time here. So basically she tried to sue me and the shit didn't go through. They found me not guilty and nothing was fucking wrong with her hair. So I hope you guys enjoy Delia's dark side today and my crazy salon nightmares and my busy bone story. I hope I don't get my ass kicked. And I'll see you guys next week on the dark side. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Delia's gone, one more round. Delia's gone.